Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians, Serve in Unity. In this session, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 to 33, the responsibility of Christian liberty. We live in a confused world, a world where right and wrong are not even considered. Everyone does what is right in his own eyes, as is said in the book of Judges. Blinded by the enemy of our souls, Satan. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The enemy has come in like a flood, and the Lord has raised up a standard of salt and light against him. The light of the gospel for salvation to eternal life. The salt of righteousness for godliness to influence society. This world desperately needs a godly, biblical example by Christians. Our text for this session reveals three elements of the example God wants from his followers, and they're related to Christian liberty or freedom in Christ. First, there is the context of Christian liberty. Verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? What is Paul addressing here? Attempting to embrace both good and evil. A true commitment to Jesus Christ has two characteristics. First, committed believers flee from evil. Flee from idolatry, verse 14 there. Partake of that one bread, which is Jesus Christ, verse 17. The first two commandments are, you shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not make for yourself a carved image, an idol, a source of some kind of strength. And why is that? Well, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Committed believers fellowship with God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. And you cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. This is the primary reason for Christians not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, which Paul emphasized in his second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. He said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Again, why? There is no basis for fellowship due to different spirits, and God dwells in and among His own. The committed believer fellowships with God, not the world. The context of Christian liberty is fleeing evil and fellowship with God. Second, there's the principles of Christian liberty. Look at verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but let each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions, for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Then Paul presents four principles to guide a believer's activity. Edification versus gratification. Not all things edify. The things we do as Christians should be to build us up in our faith, to promote spiritual growth. Second, others versus self. Let no one seek his joy, but each the other's well-being. I always like to think of it as the word joy, J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself third. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And third, liberty versus legalism. We live under grace. No list of do's and don'ts rules. But we do not have license to sin. If we know an activity leads to and promotes sin or immorality, we're called not to participate. And then fourth limitation. Instead of offense, our participation gives the other person the wrong idea of Christianity. If our participation means we're engaging in demonic things of any kind, be a witness. Keep a good conscience. Be careful regarding the things you take part in. The principles of Christian liberty are to strengthen your witness. And third, the motive of Christian liberty. Look at verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all. There's a threefold motive there. To the glory of God, give no offense, that they may be saved. Paraphrased, do all things to God's glory, not offending anyone, to provide an example that leads others to Jesus Christ for salvation. Look at it again, verse 33. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You give that some thought, and you have a great day.